Marvellous.
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Welcome, Claremont Gerrison.
Hello.
Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. I'm getting over a cold, which is why I wasn't here last week.
I mean, Cameron was fretful. He was sort of saying, where is Claremont Gerrison?
Everyone was oh, well, I'm alive. I'm just about.
Cameron's wife too.
I got tears in my ears from lying on my back crying in my pillow over you.
I'm sorry, Cameron. I'm here now, though.
Yeah, it's that. All right. Emotive nature that keeps the family of the whole piece going. She's splendid. Little Grascals. I don't know if I've actually heard of the Grascals. That's the Patricia, have you heard in your time either in America or in Britain about a band called the Grascals?
Nope. Oh. Sounds interesting, though.
It's very interesting, actually. Claire, the Grascals?
Yeah.
No, I think from Claire either. And Cameron, obviously you have, because you're going to be introducing them in a few seconds' time. It's all right. Just totally ease back of that. Emma Tennyson, the Grascals.
No, I haven't. Are they rascals from the Grove?
Well, I think, you know, little rascals, as people would actually, little rascals. Enough of such stuff, Cameron. The floor is now yours to set the scene for this little musical choice in association with Nashville Access All Areas you've brought along today.
There you go. Well, one thing, bluegrass is making a bit of a resurgence as people get kind of ticked off with mainstream country music sounding way too pop. And so I think people are reaching back and finding stuff that's a little more traditional. And bluegrass has always been there. And there are a lot of bands that have really come to the forefront as leaders in bluegrass. And there are some bluegrass artists that kind of go back into not mainstream country, but they can get back into country and go back and forth from bluegrass to country, like Rhonda Vincent and New Blue, who we featured on the show before. But these guys are bluegrass, and they play station in here in Nashville quite regularly, and I really dig them. They've had a bit of a lineup change in their band, and it's really invigorated them a little bit. You know, they were always really good, and I think they're just that little bit better now. And this is their brand new album. It's called And Then There's This. This is one of the songs from it, and I hope you really like it. This is called I Know Better, The Grascals on Siren FM.
So what do we make of I Know Better, Claremont Gerrison?
Very jolly, I like it. Pretty upbeat.
Yeah, very good. And Emma Tennyson?
That was like the funkiest, folkiest thing ever.
The funkiest,
crazy.
Folkiest thing ever. And Patricia Ash.
Bright and bouncy. I was sitting in the studio dancing.
She was, you know. She's not actually using radio kind of elaborations to actually say that. The genuine editor of the Gearhart Steampunk Review was actually sort of moving.
She was
and
bumping
grooving.
Away.
Exactly. So it's thumbs up. So Emma, you know, should Cameron be on the case to actually bring some of them on the show sometime?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. We haven't had any really like proper bluegrass stuff, so
No, we haven't.
Exactly.
We'll look after that. We'll get that done for you.
That's marvellous. I'm looking now, Cameron, at a website which says Gearhart's Steampunk Review, a magazine full of inspiration. I'm thinking actually in many ways it could actually have a bluegrass theme. In an ironic way. An extravaganza of art, photography, and literature that shines a spotlight on steampunks from all over the world.
There you go.
Cameron, would you like to find out a bit more about this from Patricia H, stands for Hottie, Ash?
Yeah, because a friend of mine is a photographer, and she does a lot of steampunk photography. And, of course, the band Rush, their last album, had a real steampunk feel to it. So, yeah, tell me more.
Well, Oh dear.
Let's start with the magazine.
I'm so much better with writing words down than I am with saying them. Like that lovely blurb that Alex just read. I wrote that. so it's difficult to speak words that are better than that one.
Having said that, as we look through the site, the fashion, the examples that we actually get from that. I mean, Patricia, what was it that as an American citizen, originally from not too far away from Nashville, I believe, is that right? Texas?
It's a bit of a drive, but everywhere is a bit of a drive from Texas.
And where, so was it Texas?
Where in Texas?
Last place I lived was Dallas, and my parents were from a really small town near Galveston.
Glen Campbell.
My wife is from a really small town between Houston and San Antonio. Called Cuero, which is close to Victoria.
Oh, cool.
Listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, giving you the news of aspects America. Of America. Exactly.
I feel like I know the whole geography of Texas.
Stretching the roots, working that whole system from that point of view. So my question still stands, Patricia. What attracted you to steampunk, or was it something that actually only appealed when you came over to Britain?
Oh, no. I've always rather liked things that were of the Victorian era, and the literature and the style, the clothing, the interesting inventions that were appearing at that time. And I didn't know that there was an actual word for people who liked this sort of thing, and that word is steampunk. And a few years ago, I discovered it, and or the person who founded the Gearhearts magazine said, "Have you heard of steampunk?" And I was like, "No. Here, wear this top hat." "Ooh, okay. Here, read this book." "Oh, there are books." Once I knew that there were books involved, I was hooked.
And that's where it all started.
There you go.
I mean, Claire, is it a genre that you've found yourself gravitating to? I mean, it's in that broad scope of fantasy and SF to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the Cassandra Clare books are quite heavily linked to steampunk, particularly Clockwork Angel, I'm pretty sure, like her her prequel series is. Particularly when I was kind of teenager, when I was sort of like 16, 15 years old, I was very interested in that sort of area, and it's something that I keep coming back to. As I do with fantasy, I go through like phases where I come back to it, and I went to the steampunk sort of convention thing at the top of Steep Hill.
It is, I believe, Europe's largest steampunk event.
It's amazing. Lincoln. I mean, the costumes and just the intricacy in the costumes is just incredible. I'd love to dress like that all the time. It'd be quite fun.
But you normally do, Claire.
Oh, I know. Like all my gowns.
The corset that's actually on at present, really.
Yeah, of course.
Emma.
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of this until maybe like 4 years ago, I think. And I find it so fascinating that there's like this whole culture that has not really got into mainstream yet, but there's still so many people around the country and around the world actually that are interested in this kind of thing. And I think it's great. Like it's so wonderful, and the fashion styles are so unique and everything like that. So I think it's brilliant.
I've of course been privileged to actually hold in my hand a copy of the Gearhearts Steampunk Review. It was taken back fairly shortly afterwards, so obviously it wasn't a complimentary talk copy, so don't worry about that. But how long have you been working with the magazine? I mean, as editor of it, presumably?
I've been working with the magazine since it began. I wasn't the original editor. The original founder and creator had to drop out because of health reasons. He couldn't anymore. So it was either me take over or the project dies, and I think that the project is well worth preserving, so I took it over.
And a fine set of magazines it looks indeed, does it not, Emma?
It does. We've got some fabulous covers here.
Exactly, all the way we issue 10, all marvellous sort of things there. Cameron, any questions from your good self for the team, or indeed with respect to Patricia about steampunk in general, that she may not be able to answer, or if not, she'll write the response down and I'll read it out for her.
Actually, it's pretty cool because I've seen some guitars that have been built to look steampunk. They've got kind of steam dials on them, and the whole thing is really intriguing. I think, you know, like any kind of I don't know if it's exactly underground, but like any group like that, it has the potential to be. Well, look at hipsters. That just went completely wrong.
It did.
And they're all here, by the way. Every hipster in the world has moved to Nashville.
Dear, I'm sorry.
But no, there's some really cool stuff, and I don't. It tends to still fly mostly under the radar, and every once in a while pop up a little bit and get some notoriety. But I think it's cool, the way of combining modern and Victorian. It's really neat.
It's thumbs up all the way around. Patricia, before Christmas, you had a special competition that
that's still going. It's a competition for steampunk Christmas art. And steampunk.
And it's still going.
Yeah. Right. It's going until July.
Prep for next year.
Exactly.
Next year, I'd like to bring out a special Christmas edition of Gear Hearts with, you know, steampunk Christmas art and steampunk Christmas carols. Oh, yeah, this year.
Yeah.
It is 2016 now.
See, she's time traveling once again from those Victorian times.
You know, when you've got a time machine and you're just going back and forth, it gets a bit confusing.
Well, you know, crossing that dimensional divide is what we do on a regular basis on the Great Drive.
You get terrible jet lag.
But how can people actually get involved with that competition?
Oh, just send me your steampunk Christmas art or your steampunk Christmas carols at this is the Gmail address, isn't it? GearHeartsMag@gmail.com.
That should be fine. And if you've got one to contact details, simply go to GearHearts.com. And I think that will GearHeartsMag.com.
Yep, it's GearHeartsMag.com.
It's also on Facebook as well, because we can actually sort of pull up the Facebook
everywhere.
Site. Look at that. You know, GearHearts steampunk sort of review that's actually there with the competition details. The reason this sort of really caught my attention once again, Cameron, was your wife, Jolia, who obviously has now got an authentic Marvel Comics superhero costume, which she now uses her knight apparel. So, you know, ultimate fantasy, really. It's a strange world, but still, life continues. And in case you're wondering, Anna Lewis, she's not around in Jersey, so when she's not in Jersey, pointless trying to reach her. So. But we have got extra added value. We have the delightful Victoria Perks, otherwise known as Vix, from We've Got a Fuzz Box and We're Going to Use It. Now, of course, Vix and the Mischiefs. You may recall them performing such delights as Pink Sunshine in the 1980s, Cameron. You might have indeed played them, or not, as the case may be.
No.
I thought it might have been a bit of a challenge on that sort of basis. It's, never mind. You know,
a bit of a reach.
Yeah, but it's always worthwhile trying, because you never know. Sometimes it might just sort of manifest in its own way. And besides, it gives us an opportunity to actually play the resounding triumphant.
Emma Tinson, Eva McDonald and Jessica Ward have clearly marked out their skills as premier midweek drivettes. Time now for Claire Margerison, Mary Dancy and Tessa Snart to step up to the mark.
So I suppose overall, one for one isn't bad, really, is it?
Yeah, we got two of us here.
Exactly. That's great. Emma, last two questions for Cameron, please.
Of course. Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have.
Good. Like to hear it.
A lot better than last week's link, wasn't it? It's hopeless then, you know.
Clearly, because I wasn't there, obviously.
So, Cameron, would you like to join us again on the show anytime soon?
I'll be back next week.
Yay!
Sie sei so groß wie der Ozean. Ich frage mich, ob sie das wusste. Ich frage mich, ob sie das wusste.
I just want to ask you what you want. Oh, it's nothing like a song with some German lyrics spoken in that sense of the word. It's just genius, really, sheer genius. Singer, songwriter, musician, vocal coach, music mentor, presenter, writer, Reiki master, and Brummy enthusiast, Emma Tinson. To whom can we be referring?
Vix from Fuzz.
It's Vix from Fuzz. books, yay!
What more could we want as well? What a list there. Singer, songwriter, we've got everything.
God, that was impressive. That was impressive.
And I like the Brummy enthusiast on the end.
Katie Grimmison, hitherto for our regular midweek driver and, of course, Brummy search engine optimizer extraordinaire, an all-round wonderful person. She would be delighted to see Brummy enthusiast
there. I think that's a very important skill.
Very good. And, of course, is the location of Destination Star Trek 2016, the 50th anniversary event in Europe. So that's really wonderful. Vic's going to introduce you to a terrific triumvirate of fine co-presentatorial folk in the studio. Emma Tinson, of course, you've just heard
that.
Yes,
hello.
Hello, hiya.
Fact, Emma, you were there with Vic's debut, I think, before Christmas.
Yeah, I think I was,
Well, we actually had to say, you know, absolutely demand of Tony McDonough from Manila PR. We need more Vic's on the whole system. It's absolutely essential.
More.
Precisely.
I'm very, very husky. Can you hear this?
You sound all right to us.
I'm really poorly.
Well, we'll be sending positive vibes down the line, and if you haven't improved health-wise by the end of this particular feature, then clearly, you know, we're not doing our job. Claire Margerison is also with us. Claire.
Hello.
Hey, Claire.
You probably don't remember the joys of Fuzzbox, or we've got a Fuzzbox and we're going to use it.
But I was here as well when you spoke.
Exactly. Oh, well, of course, we're talking about Vix and the Mischiefs.
It was so memorable.
Yes.
It was indeed. And we have the editor of Gearheart's Steampunk Review.
Hello.
Ooh,
that would be
good.
Yeah, Patricia Ash, originally from Dallas, Texas. Well, slightly outside Dallas, Texas, to be precise, now resident in Nottingham.
Oh, like a bit of steampunk.
Yeah, I thought you might, Vix. That's why I thought it was critical. That's why when the opportunity of Patricia coming onto the whole sequence, I thought, yeah, got to. Because Patricia's normally here to provide the sensible book reviews for the monthly programme, The Stone Tapes, with, of course, Sam Stone and David J. Howe. She normally keeps them in order. I just press a few buttons.
But instead she's having fun with us.
Exactly. The time's finally emerged from that perspective. So let's go to your good self, Vix, with respect to steampunk. How did you get first into the whole notion of steam? Because I've always, in a sense, Fuzzbox had a kind of steampunk-ed vibe to a certain degree, I felt.
Often at times, yeah. I suppose because I like a lot of the kind of punk stuff and slightly gothy ends of fashion, and also love all the vintage, you know, I wear a lot of kind of 40s, 50s, 60s kind of stuff. So when you mush it all together, it's pretty steampunk, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The last dress I bought for Fuzzbox actually was very much like that. And I had my little special little sort of, you know, hat made for me, and which was meant to be in that vein. So, yeah.
It was wonderful. But, of course, perhaps not quite as wonderful as what happened on a day in spring 2014 when Vix woke up with an epiphany. Yes, she was going to form another all-girl band.
Dun, dun,
not another. This can't be true. But there can only be one all-girl band in the entire universe, surely.
But Fuzzbox, sometimes you could say that was the 20th century. Now, 21st century, much as we love and appreciate the joys of Fuzzbox. And as I say, just slip in some German lyrics. That's what I say. Was man nicht übrig, macht man starker. It's wonderful.
I have to confess, that wasn't me. There is a Japanese version as well.
Was that Yoko? I believe Yoko Ono.
Well, she wrote the song.
I know.
Nina Hagen.
She writes the song. She slits up the Beatles. What's not to love? It's amazing.
Oh, come on! Yeah. Blame the woman.
Yoko, if you're listening, and we know you can these days with technology being what it is, there's always a place for you on the midweek drive. I just thought I'd put that out there. Let's motor on from that point of view, because this is a bit of
we've gone off on a tangent again.
But at the same time, it's a tangent which brings us neatly back to the foundation of Vix and the Mischiefs, because this impossible situation of actually forming a band with blokes within a week, that's highly unlikely, let alone a band with girls in it, but you are on the case.
Yeah.
We will be hearing in a few seconds just one of the fabulous tunes EP available very shortly. Fame is Your Driver, which, as we said, we were eulogising about before Christmas. So, heaven only knows what will be happening sort of after Christmas from that point of view. But when you're actually saying in terms of your wish list, a bit of cosmic ordering coming across here, Vix, that you wanted Cajun guitar, ukulele,
Cajon.
Cajon. Okay.
Oh, novice.
Well, I don't know. You say Cajon, I say Cajun. Let's both go down to Florida and find out what it's all about. Anyway, Cajon, guitar, ukulele, and then he wanted violin. And
yeah, we have violin.
Yeah. All the strings.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you tick the box with respect to Mimi on Cajon and guitar.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's Cajun, really.
It's like a bangy box. You sit on it and bang it. Make rhythm.
You see, that's why Vix is the professional musician and I just reached grade 7 with Royal Schools of Music Pianoforte. It's okay.
Oh, stop
showing
off.
It's all right. Naomi. Oh, do you get a feeling that research just hasn't been a major part of this whole sequence? Naomi on violin.
Nemi. Yep.
Thank you. We'll have to give her her own slot on the programme so that we can actually sort of say it's pronounced thus from that body. And double bass.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got Bex. Bex on double bass. And then...
Well, that lineup has changed a bit.
No!
Oh, it's for the short time we've been going, and considering female musicians are quite hard to come by, especially in, you know, when I'm quite specific about the instruments I want. Yeah, we've... Bex had a baby, so she went off and busied herself with that.
Congratulations, Bex.
I know, lovely. Well, it wasn't my baby. Thank you anyway.
She made a small human. That's the important thing. She made a small human.
Nemi is coming back. She's been in Dubai. She's been teaching over in Dubai, doing music and stuff. But she's coming back again since we lost our violin. But we got Halion on U-bass, which is like a ukulele bass. She's ace. She actually wasn't even playing when we said she could kind of potentially join. She said, "Oh, I said, but you haven't even got a bass, and you know you don't play bass." She said, "It doesn't matter. I'll learn. I'll go and buy one." So she did. And 2 weeks later, we were recording the next EP in the studio. See, there's the punk ethos. It's still there, even in Americana.
You don't just think about the music; you go and do the music. And as you said.
Yeah.
Flavour of Americana. Now, I suspect, Patricia, you haven't heard the fantastic delights that are about to assail your ears with Fame Is Your Driver, have you?
No, I haven't heard this. I'm really excited, though, because this sounds amazing. That lineup of musicians, I really want to hear that.
Exactly.
You've got to check out the video as well.
Oh,
I kind of had an idea. I wanted to take the mickey out of all these reality TV shows, so we sort of run it just like an audition, and for everybody to come in an audition. Oh, it's brilliant.
It is quite a splendid one in its own way, of
Thank
course,
you.
Which we're
what do you mean in its own way?
We'll do it as a parody, as a work of stay with the process, if you'd be kind enough to do that, Vix. We'll be back with you in about...
Well, I may or may not be here.
Oh dear. That's ominous. Please stay.
We've lost too many good musicians this year already, Vix. You know, come on now. You know, you got to stay with us. You know, I know. I can hear Bowie now saying, "I want Vix up here." You know, no. You're going to have her. All right. Fame Is Your Driver. Back with you in 120 seconds from now.
Your 15 minutes fame starts right here. So enjoy it while it lasts, while we live. Will you save or sell your soul in the name of rock and roll? Some say that it's up. I want to get off. I want to get off. Pull over, please stop. I want to get off. 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 I want to get off.
A round of applause, please. Yay! Was I right, or was I right, Patricia?
That was fantastic. It's so catchy.
Exactly.
I love it.
It's just a wealth of riches because you've got that. You've got Lindsay Gold later on. It's amazing for that point of view. But yes, Vix, a genuine tonight. And of course, available to purchase via all the usual attitudes. And of course, raised marvellous. How can people get hold of a copy of Vix and the Mischiefs singing If Fame Is Your Driver?
Oh, I was going to pretend I wasn't here anymore, but being as I'm plugging a single. well, it's available at iTunes, and I think it's on Amazon and all the usual places you can get on to it. Plus, we do have really gorgeous, like, red look vinyl CDs. But you can get them off us, signed and stuff. So you can go to our website, which is vix.uk.com. Or if you go through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, we're all over that, so you can find us that way. and we're doing the new EP at the moment that's just actually finished being mixed, and we're getting it mastered, which makes it all sound beautiful and sparkly. And then, thanks to Pledge Music, it's going to get out there.
It's just one continual joyous experience. And do you notice the way, actually, you know, I mean, Vic's taking her professionalism to that nth degree of a song as if fame is your driver. She's in a car and she's pulled over to actually do the interview. It's wonderful.
There
it's
you
like,
are.
It's like the meta narrative actually takes a wing of its own and flies off into a whole sort of system there. So what is it about Birmingham, the second city, I believe, in the country that makes you a Brummy enthusiast, Vic?
Well, originally I put Brummy Evangelist, but then I thought people might get scared that I was some sort of...
Hallelujah!
Yeah. I love Brum. It's absolutely great. I mean, I was helping... I ran a project that we celebrated the showcase for last night, which was Educate and Celebrate, which is part of LGBT History Month. Do you know what that is? It's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Trans History Month. And I helped, you know, to put together loads of... went to lots of different schools and we wrote songs together about the issues and performed there. And Birmingham is one of the leading cities that's putting it out there. I mean, the city council, say what you like about them, but they've paid, you know, they've funded, you know, these programs and training and resources going around every school for free to make sure that, you know, that there's no homophobic sort of language and discrimination. And it's, yeah, so we're good in that way. It was just so diverse. I mean, just looking around, you know, the venue last night, I was so proud to be a Brummie because it wasn't just about, you know, LGBT issues. It was about everything, you know, race, faith, you know, gender, everything.
As
you can
Gene
think
Roddenberry
of,
said,
we were all there.
Infinite diversity in infinite combinations.
Oh, that's the way it is. Yeah. I love it. We're a friendly bunch. You know, I lived in London for about 5 years and I think people just thought I was crazy because I'd go and, you know, try and help someone with their pram up the stairs or, you know, offer someone
and
a door
that's
or whatever.
That's the challenge with Londoners. They don't realise when we northern folk go down there, we're trying to civilise them. It's understandable. It's okay.
Yeah. No one smiles.
They'd be going, no, I haven't got any money. I haven't got
anything. It's a large city. Yeah. Of course no one smiles.
I didn't work there. It didn't work for me. I came back to Bram. Good.
And we're delighted that you're back in the Midlands. That's the important thing. Steady on, Vix. Claire, questions from yourself.
I guess I'd like to ask you about, you know, how you're doing an all-female band and that female empowerment, that sort of thing. Do you have any thoughts on, like, celebrities and feminism? Because I was talking about that today in my seminar and how, like, the fear of declaring oneself a feminist and, like, feminist killjoys. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's strange, really, because in the early days of Fuzzbox, we were, I think we were considered to be sort of feminist. We preferred it with kind of a small F because certainly, you know, I see myself more as a, you know, I'm much more for sort of equal rights as opposed to female's rights or whatever, but fight for anybody's rights. I think some areas, men are quite, you know, impoverished as well, emotionally perhaps and so on. But anyway, I think that, but it's funny because sometimes we were kind of knocked for not being feminist enough. So, what's that?
It's all right. it's
suddenly
a bass artist suddenly creeping on the whole sequence. Worry not.
So, I think that I was quite a little young feminist though, because even at junior school, I started an all-girl football team. And that was seen to be really radical. And then we kept beating the boys, not like physically, although it sometimes had to happen. So we'd often beat them, and eventually we got banned from playing because we were like upsetting the boys because we kept beating. Because, I mean, we're only like, you know, in junior.
That's because you should get better at.
Exactly.
I know.
That's what competition is for.
Spoken as a true American citizen. Here we are. North American, I have to say. Lots of sort of delights, of course, on the website, which once again is vix.uk.com. And in fact, sadly, not Vix's interviews with Siren FM's Midweek Drivers yet. They've got the Six Music, they've got BBC Radio 2. It's all right. We can cope with that. We are East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. But the next critical question I need to put to you before we have a brief sort of chance, and I'll just set this up, is the choice for the next little tune. And we're going slightly back in time for this. We can go Spirit in the Sky, unique incarnation of this. Spirit in the Sky by, of course, Fuzzbox. Or alternatively, Fast Forward Futurama, Fuzzbox featuring Mandarin. I would have preferred Satsuma myself, but Mandarin is perfectly okay.
This is really cool because you were playing Walking on Thin Ice, which people don't often play. Mm. It's always Pink Sunshine and International Rescue.
Yeah, exactly.
Occasionally Self. And if they want to hark back to the old days, it'll be Rules and Regulations.
Yeah.
The old days. It's all the blooming old days. But anyway.
It's the chronological routines.
I'm really happy with either.
Well, Claire, which one do you think? Spirit in the Sky or Fast Forward Futurama?
Spirit in the Sky.
Spirit in the Sky for yourself. Okay, Emma?
Yeah, Spirit in the Sky.
Spirit in the Sky.
Oh, gosh, both of them sound nice.
I tell you what, let's go Spirit in the Sky, and we'll see if before the if Vix will stay with us for this little number, we'll do the sort of final wrap-up, and then we'll squeeze in another one as well. So, Spirit in the Sky.
Oh,
Fuzzbox. And that's why she's a Brummy evangelist. Anyway,
actually, that was Maggie on the vocals there.
She was channeling, in some sense, the whole notion of Telephone Man that was a hit back in the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Maggie and I are in the studio at the moment writing the new Buzzbox single, and one of them is one of the ideas was a bit ended up a bit like that.
Genius. As we said, I can see the doctor and the medics thinking, why did we even try to cover the notion when you had it done so perfectly?
Well, they did actually apologise because they said they came to see us and we'd played, or they'd seen it on Old Grey Whistle Test, I'm not sure, but they'd seen us perform it. They decided to cover the song and then they went and had the number one hit with it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It was written by Norman Greenbaum.
Exactly. Norman Greenbaum. No, it's precisely so. And of course, it does tie in with who we're speaking to shortly after the Siren News. It's Jean Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, who are co-founders of Native Voices at the Autry, the premier theatrical company and all-round production company for, of course, the American natives, the genuine Americans, of course. Not none of you are kind of, you know, settled in Dallas, Texas and lived there with a family for a couple of hundred years.
I'm very, very tiny bit Comanche, okay?
Then okay.
Very, very tiny bit. Not enough for any scholarships or anything.
That's critical to the whole sort of sequence. So we'd work on that basis because the spirit is with us from that point of view. Emma, would you like to bowl those last two questions to Vix? The legendary Vix, of course.
Of course, the legendary Vix. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have. I always do. Thank you very much.
Now, has it made you feel a little bit better, Vix? Because we did say at the start, you know.
La, 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 la. Oh, I still haven't quite got
Not quite, but yeah, improving. Improving.
I think we're nearly there.
Well, you sound lovely to us. So would you like to join us again on the show anytime soon?
Oh, of course. Yes, definitely. Well, sort of springtime, we'll have the new Fuzzy single and we'll have the new EP for Vixen and Mischief really, really soon. So, yeah, come on about both or either of those.
So. So we were feeling guilty because when we last spoke, of course, we said we must feature her before Christmas. Of course, Christmas went and went, even the Russian Orthodox Christmas. So we thought,
Christmas was a bit busy.
Don't worry. Just ruined my entire Christmas.
The positivity will remain. Vix, we salute you. And there isn't any chat. We might squeeze in another Fuzzbox before the end of the programme because I feel that Fuzzbox suits Fuzz Aldrin, of course, our director, Phil Leonis's Los Angeles Cat. Yeah, it's all there. So as we will talk up to the news, because with 20-odd seconds to go, that's what we actually do in terms of filling for that sort of wonderful sequence. Vix, you know, I thought you were reading the news headlines there for a moment. It's okay. We're sort of through that because all we have to say at this particular moment in time on Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM, is it's 5:45. It's time for the news.
Local taxi drivers will be required to take additional college courses, Lincoln Hospital to get a £2 million upgrade, and Potterheads nationwide get ready to test their knowledge.